I'm here because of the burning desire God has put in me to be here. And if you have grown to like me or know me at all, you know my heart, and you know why I'm standing here. And I'm here to tell you that God has spoke a word inside of me to preach his word and give it to people. And I am in full accordance and obedience to what his anointing leads me to do. But I bet maybe some part of you inside of you knows that if I come, that there's got to be something good that comes out of it, right? But I'm here to tell you that there's nothing in this human being that is good. Let me tell you what you're depending on, or let me tell you what you're enjoying when you hear the word out of somebody or hear a good song out of somebody. There is a power of God in them. Somebody look over and tell somebody they got something in them. There's a power of God in them that as they begin to yield their heart and their life and obey him, that when that begins to come out, it's something that you can trust and depend on. Just like you have security with your salvation and you know that heaven is your home, that is what the Spirit wants to do for you while you're walking here on earth. The Spirit of God is like heaven on earth. It wants you to walk blessed so that when others see it inside of you, they'll put their trust in you. Because ultimately, they're not trusting you, they're trusting him in you. When people say and tell me all the time to pray for their situations, I'm here to tell you they're not ignored. They are not ignored. So if you have ever told me that, they are not ignored. I'm not that guy. Sometimes I'll be just in the middle of meditation and I'll see somebody. And I think to myself, Lord, touch it, move in it, bless it. There'll be some times that I go down to pray to ask for my own things. And God shows me somebody else and I just say, Lord, you see it, you know it, and help them. There are people that need to be able to depend on you in these last days. Church, I'm here to tell you, I need you to be here and be on fire for him. I'm depending on that anointing that's inside of you to do something amazing. And as we begin to encourage one another, exhort to one another, give each other hope for what we're doing, instead of just waiting around just to have it so strong that we'll begin to finally say, well, he did an okay job. They had the hair standing up on the back of my neck. He did all right. Maybe I'll tell him next time. If we would begin to be able to come together in his presence, we would realize it has nothing to do with the individual, but in fact has everything to do with the thing and presence that is inside of a person. And then you'll begin to be more confident in your brothers and sisters. I just don't know if I buy into what he stands for. How do you know? How do you know? I just don't know if I can serve the Lord with them. I don't know that much about them. If you would seek in discernment, you'd find out all that you need to know. And the Lord can open up in your spirit. And this has happened before. The few individuals that are ready to get in. I know I've been preaching before and I get linked up with a few people that are really getting into it. And it causes my fire to stay on and for me to go on. There are people that are trying to sing their first songs that we're trying to teach. There are going to be young people that are going to be raised up to do things and obey. And I hope that we have enough respect for them to be able to support them and let them know that what they're doing means something. Because I would have given anything when I was a mixed up 15-year-old to have somebody come in and not just give me kind advice. I would have given anything to take back those 9 years of my life that was thrown away to the world. If I had been around that kind of presence that would have caused me to see the error in my ways. Listen, there's a stubborn people that are out in the way of wickedness that think that what they're doing is the only way and that God doesn't even exist. That's a dangerous place to be. I can't guarantee the safety of the irrepentant. We cannot guarantee that they're going able to be spared. But we have to be the kind of people that are going to go in the darkness and be the marvelous light. When I look in the mirror today, I don't see the same person I was. Because you know what? I might see scars. I might see hurt. I might see age. I might see fatigue. But when I look in the darkest parts of my life, you know what's still there? Him. God is still there. Let's go to verse 5. If you will be charitable without expecting in return, and not do something to condone a thing for your own gain, then you will not be moved, easily persuaded out of your faith, or discouraged. I consider this chapter such a marvelous nugget. I like to call Psalm 15 a mirror for me. I read this scripture. I'm just sharing something that's more personable to me. I read this scripture often. And as I read it and examine my life, I don't have to make it all the way through the chapter to see something that can be different. I see things in me every day that can be different. Well, brother, you're a minister. Surely there's nothing that could happen to a minister. I'm here to tell you that ministers are just as human as you are, face the same struggles that you do. And the only difference is when they set out to do a good thing, they're going to face the spiritual persecution of the enemy. So while you think that we're different, we're really not that different. I put these pants on the same way you put yours on, one leg at a time. I eat my meals and spill stuff on me the same way you do, one spoon at a time. I suffer, hurt, and bleed the same way you do. So I'm here to tell you that I'm not telling you something that's impossible. And in fact, if we lived by the model of what God is trying to speak to his people, let me tell you, we'd be more humble. We would have less pride. And we would be more willing to live in the moment or be instant in season. People don't want to go to church for 3 hours to barely feel him and be unsatisfied. Can I go on? People don't need to come in and see us disorganized. We don't need to represent the Holy Spirit like it's not in order. We have to provoke the anointing in us and simply agree with each other. We may have differences in how we worship. We may have differences in how we pray. We may even have differences in our interpretation of the Word of God. But friends, let me ask you, is there any argument, any difference of opinion, anything worth putting your pride on the line to keep somebody from heaven? I have got to such a place that even if you come up to me tonight and tell me everything I've preached on is a sham and you think I'm a sham and you tell me where I can go, I'm here to tell you it's okay. Because I'm not worried about your opinion. And your opinion doesn't define who I am. Let me tell you what defines me. There was a truth that came to me one day that showed me that I was a sinner. Oh, some people call it the good old-fashioned way, but I just call it God's love for me. And it revealed in me that I didn't have to any longer live in bondage, that I could walk in the marvelous light, that I could be a child washed by the blood of the Lamb, that I could be redeemed and forgiven from my sins, that it presented to me a new way of hope, a new way of life, and I have not come this far to hide. I have not come this far to live a lie. I have not come this far to say that I'm something that I'm not. I am exactly what God has called me to be. I'm doing exactly what he's called me to do. I'm walking by faith and believing, and he has blessed me and he's not let me down yet. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, if we got to get our act together. You don't need 100 people to get in the almighty presence of God. All you have to do is realize he's with you. And the more that you have this awareness that he's with you, you won't be so stagnant in stirring it up inside of you. Because when people say stir the spirit in you, what they're really saying is stir the realization that he's with you. If he is for us, who can be against us? Jesus talked about when we would face times that we would not feel like we saw God. That's called tribulation. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But what did he say? Be of what? Good cheer. Because he already overcome the world. When you read be of good cheer, that just doesn't mean have a smile on your face. That was a very small generalization for a very big way of life. I'm telling you right now, if you would have known me when I was not saved, you would not have been my friend. But I long now to walk with every person I serve God with as my family. I have a longing to see more people come to the great reunion one day. I am longing in my heart to see people delivered, to see people set free. But here's the deal. I almost brought a mirror tonight, but I just didn't have time to get one because I've got one on the in the floor. I just didn't pack it. We've got to learn to look inside of ourselves and see what we are not yielding to God completely. There are some people that are this close to bursting out with the overflow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about breaking out in all the spiritual gifts. But it gets to a certain point where God needs your full yielding. But we don't want to give up how we feel about something. Or we don't want to forgive somebody. Or we don't want to step out and have to do more to get more. We just don't want to. But I'm here to tell you, and very frankly, if you're not going to eat your pie, just slide it over and give it to me. You can sit there and lollygag with your unhappiness if you want. But if you're not going to choose to be happy, slide your pie over and let me have it. Because God has showed me in his word that we can walk in joy every single day. He said to let good be in your conversation. What does that mean? Don't speak badly of things. Don't speak badly of yourself. Don't sell yourself short from what God has meant for you to be. One day, the moment's going to come when God's glory is going to need to shine in you. There has been at least in the past 4 years, 6 to 7 moments where I have been in a place that was not a church, and I either was put on the spot to preach or to sing or to talk about my testimony or to show kindness or benevolence to somebody that I had never met. And the people that God put in my life and revealed to me, I was able to shine and show something to them. And through that time when God had me ministering and being around them, they were spared, or they were saved, or they were changed. And you might not feel like that 5 to 7 people means anything when you're trying to save hundreds a year at a church. But just think about it. If every single one of us strove to minister and to love at least 8 to 10 people, if you had 100 people that would strive to minister to 10 people a year, then we could have over 1,000 people that would have hope in their life more than they did before. Just think about the power that you have. And God even reminded us that in the spiritual realm, one can put 1,000 to flight. In 2, 10,000. He was giving us base 10 math. The number goes up higher and higher where there is more agreement. So of course the devil's going to try to fight to keep us from getting in the anointing. Singers can testify to you that the worst song to ever sing at a church is the first song. Because you're trying to pierce through that wall that has been built up all week long in people. You're trying to have a anointed moment, and you're coming back, and it's like it's hitting the wall and coming back to you. There are singers that will testify in this place and others that when they sing and they feel that presence, it almost makes you feel like you're vulnerable. It almost makes you feel like you're doing something wrong because it is so rejected by the disdain that we have put on us when we have been out in the world and not letting God minister on a daily basis that by the time we get through four or five songs, we're just wore out. There are more people that are hanging up their microphones and giving up their singing. Don't you remember singings all the time? Do you remember people used to love to sing? They'd have church and they'd go home and they'd sing there. I used to grow up as a kid. We used to just sit around a table and I'd pick mandolin and we had a guitar player, a fiddle player, bass player. We'd just sit around and pick. They'd laugh. We'd be up till 2 or 3 in the morning laughing and enjoying life. Those days are gone. People don't hardly even enjoy a song. A song is almost treated like, well, this is a time where we have to get up and praise Him now, and then when the song's over, we can sit down because there's no more to do. And then people are, there's so many different facets to this. Some people aren't moved unless it's a certain style, or if it's faster, slower, or wrote by certain artists, or if it ain't read back, it ain't nothing. You can get caught up in so many different things, but it's all in your mind. It's all just distractions. The scripture also talked about casting out every, what? Imagination or high thing that would, what? Exalt itself in you. That same desire that Lucifer had to shine, that's what it was talking about. Anything that would make us feel like that we don't need God doesn't need to live inside of us. Let me read one last part to you and we'll come to a close. And I want to bring emphasis to this. He or she that doeth these things shall, and I like the strength of this word, never be moved. People always have told me, better never use never. Have you heard the phrase, you never know? But when God speaks things to us, He uses very powerful words. It shall be given to thee. I will. I am. Very bold statements that God makes. So when I read the phrase, never be moved, guess what? Our boat may be rocked, but we're not sinking. I believe that Paul tapped into this realization when he said, oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? He realized that nothing in persecution in this world had anything to be compared to where he was going. And when he realized that everything that they did to try to persecute him had nothing to do with where he was going, guess what? He was able to write letters out of prison that encouraged other people. So we're all at different ages in our life. We're all at different stages. You might think, well, I might have 30 good years left. Some of you might think, I only have a few good years left. Some of you are like, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you, if you've got breath and you are still here, and you're able with sound mind, then God has called you to minister, to love, and to help people. Every single one of you. And He wants you to do it more out there than He does in here. This is supposed to be a filling station. We're supposed to be able to come in and support each other. But sometimes you try to serve God and obey Him, and you feel more judgment than you do support. Don't you worry about the haters. Haters have nothing to do with your blessing other than being that extra stumbling block. You know what I like to do? I like to pile up the stumbling block, Sharon, because you know what? It helps me climb higher. It lets me get closer to where I'm going. So let them hate. Let them look at you like you're crazy. Let them sit back and not get into it when you begin to sing and exalt the Lord. Let them sit back when you're the only one that goes to pray for somebody. Let them hate. But I'm here to tell you, every single step that you take towards Him where others will not, you'll reap what others will not. I love you tonight and I appreciate your attention. But more than anything, the question that God put in my spirit is, who are you? I guess I am giving some homework. You don't have to literally stand in a mirror, because if you're like me, you get up in the morning and look, sometimes you scare yourself. by what you see. But I will challenge you for a moment this evening to look inside of your heart in your life. Get to a quiet place. Don't turn on the TV and try to do this. Don't turn on the radio. Don't grab your phone. Steal away. Take 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking. That's all the Spirit's asking right now. 5 minutes of time. And look at your mirror inside of you. And if you see anything as you ask and seek the Lord, if it's revealed to you, then guess what? It's meant to be different. And until we totally yield all of those things unto God, then we are not tapping into our true potential. Have you ever heard that song? I've just started living. I found me a brand new life. Changed my direction and washed away all my strife. If you can come to the realization today that you don't have to stay this way, and take the truths and the things that you're ashamed of and the things that you've been hiding from and begin to surrender them to God, you're going to find a transformation begin to happen. You might even find yourself having a spiritual experience when nobody else is around. When I really give all that I have to the Lord, let me tell you, you don't expect it back. Don't just come to be seen. Don't just come to feel like that it's a part of this checklist that you're marking off to make sure that you're right. Come because you want to. Serve Him because you want to. And if you've lost your want to, God wants to give it back to you. He wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in good health. And God wants you to be in sound mind. He wants you to walk in peace and dismiss and rebuke the darkness. And I'm here to tell you, I'm crazy enough to believe by faith that if we'll call those things that are not as though they are and represent our lives to God, that at any point if He came to us and wanted us to show who we were, that He would be seen. I'm here to tell you, if you start this process, my friends, you're not going to lick this thing overnight. It's going to take time. But He said, if you can be faithful over a few things, that I will begin to make you, what, a ruler over many. So you take the things that you are giving to God, and you believe by faith He's changing them. And as you begin to transform your way of thinking, walk away from the former lusts and rebuke the temptation to go back to who you were. Because one day you'll look back and wish you did. One day you'll look back and wish you would have praised Him while you could. But I'm not going to look back and have any other regrets other than I wish that I could have saw more happen. Every time that I preach and pour my heart out, I feel like somebody has wrung the inside of me out. And every time that I feel it in my spirit, somebody should come and they turn it away. It grieves my heart for days on end because I know that they need God more than anything else that they're clinging to. But we've got to do this as a representative of one. That's why it talked about us being a body. And if one member needs help, to help them. Because if we can't walk together, and we stumble as a church, let me tell you, this won't stay up for very long. Not even this place. Not even what you're setting out to do. This has got to be such a personal thing for it to mean something to you. Because if you've been enjoying the blessings of just hearing the word and not enjoying blessings for yourself, then you'll get burnt out on listening to me one day. Jesus wasn't even received in His own country. So people get burnt out on people. That we know. But the reality is, you'll never get burnt out on God. Especially if it's a down in the depths of your soul, a personal relationship. We've got to learn to get this false sense of grace out of what people are preaching today. We've got to tell people the truth about sin. We've got to tell them they can't drink all week and come to church and pretend like it's wonderful. We've got to learn to call sin for sin. We've got to learn to be bold enough to say it, because if Jesus said they persecuted him first, then there can be nothing any worse that comes to you. That is the conclusion of what the Spirit had given me. I hope that it has spoke something or provoked something in you. If you're not willing to look inside of yourself, then God cannot prosper you. Light and darkness will have no fellowship. So he cannot bless where sin is. He can't. If sin is in your life, you can be as faithful as you want to be. But until you rid yourself of that darkness, he cannot bless you. God wants to bless someone that wants to be blessed, and more than that, is willing to give their life for it. When he delivered me from drugs, this was my prayer: Lord, I'll crawl the floor. I'll give away everything I've got. Lord, I'll do anything to be free. And when I sincerely brought that to the Lord, the next thing I remember, I was laughing in the Spirit in the floor. I reckon 20, 25 minutes went by. I had no idea. But when I got up, my chemical imbalances, desires for drugs were gone. I never desired it another day. My desires to want to be around people that did those things was gone. I no longer walked in fear of their peer pressure. And I was able to move forward. And not only that, God created a responsibility inside of me to finally grow up, get an education, and finish my life and do something with it. And those things can't come unless it's through him. We can give them everything else, but unless we give them Jesus, they'll not see heaven.